Now, every once in a while, we have visitors to the radio station, members of the Connect community who like to pop in and see what we do up here. And Bill Skipworth has popped in to see us. Hello.
Hello. I usually say, be afraid, be very afraid.
Do you?
Yeah. And my wife is here. I'm not sure I'd say the same about her.
Hello.
Hello, Hillary. Nice to see you. How'd you put up with this man?
Well, people do say that. They say, can you be married to him? How can you possibly, you know, well, I don't know quite what the word is, you know, tolerate me or...
I've put up with him for nearly 37 years.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You should get a medal.
And somebody said to me, who just come out of prison, you only get 15 years for life. And I thought that was so awful, saying that marriage was sort of associated with how long you were in prison. I thought that was terrible.
So where are you actually up from then?
Oh, we've come up from Sheffield.
Mm-hmm.
And funnily enough, I do a show for blind and vision impaired people of Sheffield every week on the local radio station. So in a way, I'm sort of doing your job. Well, I'm not doing your job, but I'm like on the other side of your job, if you like. And I've come across guests, which I call dead zone guests, where the guests don't actually speak. Well, I'm the opposite end of the dead zone guests, I'm afraid.
It's all right. I've got a taser here.
Oh, right.
So, you know, it's just in case I need it. I've got it here for back.
Oh, right, right. But what I thought was interesting, why I've sort of come on, is because I went blind for, I don't know if I've said it before, but just for about 5 months in 2016, I went completely blind, temporarily, as it turned out. And it was just the effect it has on us, wasn't it, that was we wanted to talk about. Because, of course, it came unexpectedly, the blindness, really, wasn't it? We had no warning of it. And then we had to just sort of muddle along, and it was just horrendous, wasn't it?
How did you cope with that, Hillary?
I actually found it very tough. I work 30 miles away from where we live, and so I was going to work every day, and Bill was in Sheffield, finding it very difficult to manoeuvre his way around our house, let alone go outside on his own. He wasn't very safe on his own outside. He also had Charles Bonnet syndrome, which meant that he was seeing imaginary things which weren't actually there. So it made life extremely difficult.
Did it put a strain on you, though, would you say?
Oh, it was terrific, wasn't it? It was because honestly and truly, I think things were getting so bad that if my sight hadn't come back, I think we would have split up, wouldn't we? Because it was just... Because suddenly my wife had turned to my carer, and I was like... And normally I'm fairly independent, and being dependent on somebody for everything... I just couldn't cope with it. Well, neither of us could cope with it. And one of the conversations that we would have was getting into the car, you know, when you're totally blind and you're not trained in doing it, you don't understand where the door is or how to get in the car. So Hillary would sort of battle with me, you know, pushing my head down and sort of, you know, like getting your foot in a shoe. You know, she would push me into the car. Usually I'd knock my head on the side or, you know, it was just everything that you're not supposed to do. Didn't we?
Yeah.
And we would eventually get in the car, and I would say, I am, and I would use a swear word beginning with B, blind, screaming. And then she would say, I know you're B, blind. And this was the conversation, you see, because it was a frustration. It was unbelievable, wasn't it? We didn't cope with it at all.
No, we certainly didn't. We were quite fortunate in one way, because when this first happened, our eldest son was between jobs, so we actually paid him to be Bill's carer for a couple of weeks, and that worked quite well. But then he started a new job, and so Bill was left on his own. I was 30 miles away, so if there'd been an accident, it was a bit tough.
So you came through this, and it's changed your perspective, isn't it, on sight loss?
Oh, absolutely, because I think I'm a very unusual person, because, of course, when I meet someone who is totally blind, I mean, they call themselves totals, don't they? I mean, I've got a good friend who says I'm a total, and I understand, you know, it's corny in a way, but, you know, when you experience something and you understand it. And, of course, there's a friend of mine who's got diabetic blindness, retinopathy, and he's a typical lad, young lad, and he's completely blind now, got his guide dog, and it's called Lee, and I sort of put my hand on Lee's shoulders and I say, Lee, I do understand where you're at. You know, I know the frustration, but obviously there is things that you can do, but the frustration of total blindness is just... To experience it is just horrendous. Well, as I say, I'd be like, blind people obviously have to live with it permanently, But with me, I do have this survivor's guilt because, of course, it was just 5 months I was totally blind. And now I've got my sight back. And, of course, I think, well, why should I get my sight back? And all these other people are still stuck in that awful blind world.
What level of sight do you have now?
Well, I can see in the middle and at the top of my left eye. I'm totally blind in my right eye, and there's a lot of loss at the bottom. But the effect is that I can now read, which obviously for the blind world is quite impressive, being able to read newspapers. And and mobile phones, I can text on mobile phones. And computers, I can see the cursor, because, of course, the first thing that happens when you're blind is you can't see the cursor anywhere and you can't, you know, use a computer. So everything, it was just like, the way I describe it was like all these doors were slammed shut, you know, iron doors were slammed shut. All these possibilities of life are just gone, all slammed shut. And then when my sight came back, one by one, they've all started opening, you see. And so I keep saying to people that, you know, when people say they get depressed, well, I've got the biggest happy pill ever. I'm just wake up every day and think, wow, you know, life is great, you know.
But can I just mention the fact that he talks to people and says, I've got my sight back. It means that they think his sight is actually a lot better than it is in reality.
I understand that.
Unless it's broad daylight outside, he really isn't safe to go out on his own after dark. And if the sunlight during the day is too bright, again, he can't see properly. So people think because he can read, his sight level is actually considerably better than it is in reality.
Now, you've been dealing with sight issues for a lot of years now.
Oh, yeah, from the age of 36, I'm now 64. So I've been in the sort of... And I say, what's weird is, and I say to people that I've had every sight condition possible, and of course the Charles Bonnet was a spectacular, you know, condition at the time, although it wasn't very spectacular.
Which means that you hallucinate. You get pictures of what you think is there, but aren't actually there. Yeah,
it was horrendous, and so I'm the only thing that I've not had is a detached retina. That's the only thing I've not actually had, but I've had everything else. You know, so I feel I'm a very good. Example of sight loss, if you like, you know, the number one guru of sight loss, if you like.
I was going to say that the other thing that Bill's a good example of is the surgeon's skills, because the surgeons at the Royal Hallamshire Hospital are the people who deserve the credit for restoring the level of sight that Bill's now got back.
Incredible. And in fact, when I went to be checked up recently, the doctor who had not actually done the procedure, he looked in my eye. I mean, obviously, I don't understand what they look at. And he just said one word. He said, wow. And then he said to his colleague, he said, look at this, look at this. And then the other surgeon looked in my eye and said, wow. So, I mean, that is incredible, isn't it? You know, that they're so pleased with how it's worked.
Fantastic. And I believe you've written a book. You wrote this some time ago, though, didn't you?
That's right. And I'm really excited about this. In fact, I was just talking about it with Jill, because it's particularly for the
Jill Barclay, is that?
And it's particularly for blind people. I'm arranging it to be transcribed as we speak, for R&IB are doing it. And it's going to be on three CDs, and it will say, this is CD1, this is CD2, this is CD3, you know, because, of course, you can't mess about with bumps on a CD, can you? You've got to know, you know, which one it is. And it particularly for blind people, written especially. And I thought it'd be really good. The blind community, you know, which is sort of hopefully a little bit of a lesson in sight loss, you know, for people who have got normal sight.
Did you not write this before you had your event?
That's right. This is what's really strange about it, because... and also the synesthesia hadn't manifested, you know, musical synesthesia, which is in the book, hadn't manifested itself, because I wrote it when I was 50. And, of course, the total sight loss hadn't happened. And lots of things. It was very strangely prophetic, really, because of the things that I wrote down in the book have actually come to pass. And again, I can't describe the book. You've got to listen to it, because a friend of mine said, who was totally blind, who had it read to her, and she said, Bill, that book is nutty like you are. And honestly and truly, you've got to hear it.
What's it actually called?
It's actually called I Was Blind, I Was Deaf, which, again, when you read the book, you understand why that's a good title. Because one of the characters thinks that he's gone completely blind, although he actually hasn't. And then another character has actually gone completely deaf and has to cope with that. But again, I can't describe it because it's such a complicated, convoluted story. Although when you hear it, you'll enjoy it. It's what I call a good read. And I'm hoping, again, maybe I'm being a bit presumptuous, that maybe it might be a talking book on the RNIB radio. I don't know. I'll have to wait and see.
And what is the future for Bill Skipworth and Hilary Skipworth then?
Well, I'll let you answer that, Hilary. What do you think?
I don't know. I think we'd find it a real struggle if Bill went totally blind again.
Oh,
but
definitely.
He has loads of friends down at Sheffield Institute for the Blind, and he's a member of a writers group there. At the moment, I'm still working full time because I'm a bit younger than Bill, and I hope to continue doing that for a long time. I'm not sure what happens when I have to eventually retire, but. I think at the moment the future's looking quite positive.
Oh, you, Bill?
Yeah. And of course, my music. I'm passionate about music and this synesthesia. I've been doing concerts quite regularly. In fact, I'm playing in Sheffield very soon, actually, on the 10th of March, which, in fact, my synesthesia will be shown on this piano. And life is very exciting. But
just briefly explain that, then, the synesthesia.
Well, again, it's very strange, but all the different keys on the piano, like the key of C is a good example, which to me is light itself. It's like yellow. And higher at the top end of the keyboard, it's very, very bright, almost, you know, like light. And then as you go further down the keyboard, it goes sort of, you know, pale yellow. And then it goes, and then in the bass level, it goes sort of very dark yellow. And then there's the key of G, which to me is green. And the higher up the keyboard, it's like pale green, which is like, you know, when trees first come out with leaves in the spring, it's pale green. And then it goes darker. And again, it goes darker as you go further down. And every single key on the keyboard, to me, gives a certain type of colour. And the big one is the black notes are, to me, like heavenly colours, you know, like infrared and ultraviolet, which everyone is blind to those. Nobody can see infrared and ultraviolet. But when I play on the black notes, you see, in certain keys on the black notes, they're like they're heavenly colours. I call them heavenly colours. And they're colours, but we can't see them. Nobody can see them. But the ear can sort of see them in a strange sort of way.
So how long are you on holiday for then? Are you heading back down south soon?
Oh, yes. At the end of the week, we're going back down to Sheffield. And we're staying on the banks of Loch Lomond at the moment. And again, when I discovered that the RNIB headquarters was here, I thought, I've got to go in there and I'll see how it works, being a fellow radio presenter. And again, I was jokingly saying earlier that the up marketplaces have furry mics. The lower market radio shows have smooth mics. And I understand you. Well, I've seen them. You've got furry mics, haven't you?
We've got smooth.
Oh, have you got smooth in there?
Smooth, yeah.
Oh, well, and chills.
How very dare you. Anyway, it's been a pleasure. We've spoken before, Bill, and it's a pleasure to meet you and the lady who puts up with you, Hilary.
That's right, yes. She deserves a medal.
Bill and Hilary Skipworth, we wish you the best for the future. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.